ahead of the holidays, how are consumers feeling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio. Later today, the University of Michigan issues its monthly index of consumer sentiment. It's what's known as a leading economic indicator. Economists look at it for clues about where things are headed, and in this month's number, there may be clues about retail spending this holiday season. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has more.
Researchers started looking at consumer sentiment decades ago, partly to help predict how much people would buy. Robert Leone is a marketing professor at Texas Christian University who looks at spending and consumer sentiment.
It's based on a theory that consumers needed both ability to purchase goods and a willingness to purchase goods. They needed both of those.
So you can tell based on these numbers whether people are likely to spend? It works?
Oh, yeah. It definitely works.
Businesses depend on this data to make decisions. If the numbers say consumers will be skittish, retailers offer more discounts. So what do the numbers say about our ability to buy this year? Chris Christopher is director of consumer economics at IHS Global Insight. He says they look good. People have a little more money.
Even though wage gains haven't been that great, their expenses, you know, the overall price level for things is much lower, and that's helping them spend a little extra.
So lower gas prices, he says, could mean more holiday spending. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Looking at the major indices in Europe, the FT 100 is down 1.5% at 6,364. France's CAC 40 is also down just about 1.75%. It's at 4,152. In the U.S. yesterday, the S&P 500, NASDAQ, and the Dow all closed up. The Dow was up 63 points. It ended the day at 17,596. A quick update now on the goings-on in Washington. The federal government is still open. It didn't shut down, even though that looked iffier than a lot of analysts expected. Late last night, with only a few hours to spare, the House of Representatives passed a long-term spending bill that'll now go to the Senate. And because that'll take some time, lawmakers passed another spending bill, a short-term spending bill, that'll keep the government funded through Saturday. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has called for an election smack dab in the middle of a recession. A vote is set for Sunday. While you might think that's not such a great idea, it looks like he may win in a landslide. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Scratch your head, but polls suggest Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's ruling party could win a two-thirds majority. In this case, it's not the economy, stupid. It's the enfeebled opposition, says Scott Seaman at the Eurasia Group.
People who have talked about voting anyway, even though they're not planning to vote for the ruling party, may cast a vote for the Communist Party, which is kind of the ultimate protest vote.
To many, Japan's economy is not that bad. Yes, Abe brought in a consumer tax hike that set people back, but parts of his ambitious so-called Abenomics plan may bear out. Adam Posen at the Peterson Institute for International Economics sees monetary easing working. And he says Abe also got something else right.
To take all these millions of educated women in Japan who are underemployed or unemployed and try to use them in the Japanese workforce.
Posen says a victory could give Abe a mandate for more changes, cutting business taxes and striking a trade deal with Washington. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant, compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support.
A look now at a world that's changing a lot, the world of print magazines. Modern Farming has made a big splash lately. It's been referred to as a fashion magazine for farming. But its founding editor just stepped down amid reports she disagreed with the magazine's owner over Modern Farming's direction, principally over how and when its focus should be making money. With that as the backdrop, Marketplace's Sally Herships looks at the overall health of the magazine industry.
Bottom line, print is dead or dying, right? Which can't be good for magazines.
Many advertisers want to be on mobile. They want to be on television.
Andrea Marderkick is with Media Associates. A big part of what the company does is help clients decide where to place their ads.
Very few advertisers are walking through the door or ringing us on the phone saying they want to be in print.
Newsweek, we've been sort of like the Kenny on South Park, you know, for like the past quarter century. Every disruption, you know, they kill Kenny again.
That's Newsweek's editor Jim Impoco at this month's Hottest Magazine Launches of the Year Awards. Samir Husni, a.k.a. Mr. Magazine, picked out the 30 hottest launches of the year. He says magazines now aren't dead, they're just different.
The days when you had TV Guide selling 18 million copies every week, those days are gone.
Husni says more than 800 magazines launched over the past year. New technology has made it easier for anyone to publish a magazine. And over at the offices of the American Society of Magazine Editors, another competition for magazines is underway, the National Magazine Awards.
So we're standing in a room that's like stacked high with magazines. We're surrounded
print
by magazines.
Yes, print magazines. Lovely ink on paper, ink on glossy paper.
Sid Holt is chief executive with ASME. He says it is a challenging time for magazines, so one way they're adapting is by becoming more specialized. Listen carefully to some of the titles around us.
So, American Girl.
The doll?
Yes.
That the American Girl has its own magazine?
Yes, American Girl has its own magazine. Beer Advocate magazine, one of my favorites.
Holt says a magazine isn't just about print or any one platform anymore. It's about a shared passion between readers and publishers, like guinea pigs or eyelashes. And yes, there are magazines about both of those. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And my apologies, the magazine I mentioned at the top there is Modern Farmer, not Modern Farming. Finally, magazine mogul William Randolph Hearst once said the coming of the motion picture was as important as that of the printing press. Well, were he alive today, he might say the same thing about digital video. The media company he started in 1887 has been investing big time in that. Last night, we learned it had bought a 25% stake in a company geared toward teens called Awesomeness TV. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.